Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, it's Pokemon Day. There's one every couple of years, and it's a good one because they've overhauled everything for the first time in 25 years. Now, this is a big deal to people like me who grew up with the franchise and have been looking at the Pokemon IP for the last 25 years going, oh my god, Game Freak and Nintendo, you've largely been making the same game for 2.5 decades. And it was one of the things going into Pokemon Legends Arceus that I was most curious about. How much of the overhauled stuff, how much of that old school DNA is still in there, and how much have they changed? And the thing that I want to address up top, because this video will be titled something like "This game's not what you're expecting," is that I feel like they've been selling it as a Breath of the Wild style game. The trailer was very much modeled on Breath of the Wild, and the music side of things, the audio footprint this game leaves is very similar to Breath of the Wild, in regards to, you know, disparate piano notes and that general feeling of sort of just ethereal beauty in the landscape itself. There's a little bit of that when you're exploring out in the open world, but the main comparison to make is that there's way more Monster Hunter and Pokemon Snap in here than Breath of the Wild. And that's going to be a very specific comparison point for people who have played both those franchises. And so, you know, to dive into some of the specifics, and I also want to quiz you on what you think of Pokemon Arceus, because I know you're not a Pokemon fan, and this might be the thing that gets you in. This third person shooting in it now, mate. So they've got all sorts of different things.
Well, this is it, my friend. Yeah. Like before you carry on, I just want to say, like, I'm here representing like the casuals, someone who has tried to get into Pokemon for a long time, has picked up a few of the games, has had all of my friends shove it down my throat since I was literally a child, and yet it hasn't quite clicked with me. Something with the regular format, I know people love it, but for me, hasn't quite clicked. So I'm looking at this thinking, is this my in? Is this the Pokemon game that I finally get to love as much as everyone else loves Pokemon?
Well, the thing with that's the thing. If one of the things that put you off was the general slow pace of the way that all the menu-based gameplay worked in the past, like lots of text prompts, lots of slow build stuff, they've sped up all that, those things tenfold in terms of you can catch multiple creatures in a row, you can just shoot three or four Pokeballs at different creatures in a row. They'll all catch, they'll all come back into your inventory. Things like that, where in the past you would have to battle each one of them, unless it was Pokemon Let's Go, where you could just throw a ball and hope for the best. Kind of like in Pokemon Go, but that's a bit of a tangent. My point is, most of the time, catching and battling was something that took a long time, and any Pokemon fan will know that that's the case. In this, that's one of the many things that they've sped up. To address the Monster Hunter point, though, in the Pokemon Snap stuff, Monster Hunter, old school Monster Hunter especially, was all about having a camp. You would go to a specific part of the world, and you'd have a camp at the beginning of it, and the open world, the entirety of the environment was split into different sections, and that's what they've got here. It's not a Breath of the Wild open world. It's not one big seamless open world. You have your hub village called Jubilife or Jubilee Village, and you have different areas that you then warp into. So that's initially what gave me the Monster Hunter vibes, along with when you get into those areas, you have a little camp area where you can put different items in, you can shop, you can rest, and that's the Monster Hunter loop. You bank, you get all your equipment, you go out and do different things, and you come back and bank it, get more money, go back out again. That's very much the Monster Hunter DNA, the old school Monster Hunter DNA, before they freed some stuff up in World and in Rise. But that approach to an open world is very Monster Hunter, and so twin that with Pokemon Snap, which I don't think you've played, Josh Brown. Have you played
I have not played Pokemon Snap. Scott Telford.
It's a glorious time. That game is very on rails, obviously the N64 version, then they had new Pokemon Snap on the Switch, which is just, you know, you're on rails, you play as the photographer, going through different landscapes, and various animations play out around you, showing Pokemon interacting with each other, or just showing a bunch of Badoo goofs having some fun in the water. It's just they're doing what they can, and you take different photos of them as all their different animations overlap, getting you different points depending on you know what sort of scenes you manage to capture. That DNA, that core DNA, that idea of just seeing Pokemon frolic in the wild and interacting with them at specific points, that's the other half of this game. It's not that there's not any Breath of the Wild in there at all. Like I said, it's in there with the audio side of it. But for me, and I've only played a couple hours, like literally I've played, I think it's literally an hour 57 or something I ended on at about 2 a.m. But it's very much Monster Hunter and it's very much Pokemon Snap. You mesh those two things together. You've got the camp elements, you're resting, you're banking money, you're trading in the different things that you've seen out in the open world. Back at the camp, you're talking to the professor, getting money, getting items, going back out, doing more things. That's the thing that I really want to point out, because I like that they have taken the best elements of the competition and sort of brought them in. They haven't just done let's Breath of the Wild this. And I know that you do unlock climbing Pokemon, swimming Pokemon, and flying Pokemon later in the game. You sort of have access to those things, different ways to traverse and everything. But the main beats of this, like I said, are those two more popular, more recognizable game formulae, rather than just saying Breath of the Wild and open world open world approach to the genre, as I do this until my point ends.
Just do it. That's how I'm going to end all points.
It's Friday!
It's Friday, it's Pokemon Day, things are good. What I'm going to ask though, you've obviously made the comparison there to, you know, Monster Hunter, Pokemon Snap.
Yes.
I guess my question is, I think I already know from your enthusiasm, but is that a good thing? Is that something you would have preferred over just them taking the Breath of the Wild approach and just doing it for Pokemon, you know, more or less verbatim?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I'm not saying my precognitive Minority Report style future viewer, but I literally had a dream that this is how they would make a Pokemon game
so
a few years ago.
I
might be. I mean, I guess it depends if you like it or not, but I'm a big fan. I like the idea that in the combat, let's do it with the battles, because like I said, the things that they've meshed together mean that the overall gameplay loops that you have here are very snappy. Like, you go out into the open world, you're building the Pokedex for the first time. It's set in like old school Japan, so you're encountering these creatures for the first time. So all the different goals that you have are per creature. So it's like, see this creature do X attack X amount of times, go catch a certain amount of creature, battle a certain amount of creatures, capture a certain amount of creatures, and that's the Pokedex that you're filling out. And then you're going back to the camp and you're banking that stuff and exchanging it for money, which then lets you buy clothing or lets you buy better gear or crafting components or whatever to go back out into the open world to see more Pokemon and hoover that stuff up. And thankfully, all those animations and mechanics are really, really snappy. It does open slow. There's a hell of a tutorial in here. Obviously, Pokemon, all ages game. They know that it's going to be some kid's first Pokemon, so they need to walk you through everything. But it does take it takes time for itself to sort of open up and go, you can press the right trigger without us telling you every single 10 seconds. But when that stuff gets going, yes, I love that this is what they've gone with. Like I said, it's been 25 years before they've upended it. And I'm curious what all those behind the scenes conversations were across the last 2.5 decades. You know, it's always been Game Freak on developer as the developer, and it's always been Nintendo on publisher. And it's one of those things where the franchise is so huge, so monolithic. Even Pokemon Go was just a happy accident. That was like a weird business deal that Niantic had done, and Nintendo didn't realize that they were, you know, what the game was going to be in full until it was released. And then they went, oh God. And then they took Pokemon Go and they made Pokemon Let's Go. But I like what they've done in terms of, if you're going to shake this thing up and you're going to take this massive risk, it's a calculated risk. They are leaning on recognizable IP, recognizable gameplay loops, and a recognizable feel. But there is enough Pokemon as a through line. Like, you know, you are, like combat, the way you're interacting with other creatures, if you can't catch them just by throwing a Pokeball at them, is throwing a creature, one of yours, into the world and then watching them battle by running around them. Like, if you stand in between two creatures and they do a charge attack, you'll get knocked over, which was the dream I had.
That's cool.
I like the idea of summoning creatures and just watching them fight in front of me, and I'm shouting out the next move, like, do Thunderstruck, you know, do whatever. That's an AC/DC song, but do Thunderstruck, do that stuff. And I like that whole idea of just a free roaming, you know, Pokemon trainer and doing the battles, but you maintain control the whole time. And I think that's a really cool way to do a Pokemon game. We did a video a while ago, Adam Cleary did a video, I forget who with now, talking about the idea of a proper open world Pokemon game. And although, like I said, the open world bits are instance, they're chunks, it very much feels like an open world Pokemon game where you're coming across all these different creatures just doing their thing and sneaking. There's tall grass, because of course there's tall grass. But how else are you going to sneak up behind someone? But but still, like, the way that they've gone, it's a safe, calculated risk, but it feels the most different to a Pokemon game like ever has. Like, I see the buzz saying it's the best Pokemon game ever, and although I've only played a couple of hours, it's very, very promising, and I like the stuff that they've done.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
As long as you're excited to go back into it, Scott Tilford, yeah. I've got one question to ask you, though, like a lot of Pokemon games recently, this one had a very specific controversy surrounding it, and that was with the apparently bad graphics, and I was kind of following this, but only half following it. How worrisome
how terrible
is this?
Are they?
How terrible are they? Well, yeah, one, how terrible are they? Yep. Two, is this a controversy that we should have actually been worried about, or is this like another Puddlegate?
It's definitely more valid than Puddlegate. That's the thing. That's the thing that I'm kind of like hinting at before is like, I don't know what those conversations are, those scheduling conflicts between Game Freak and between Nintendo, and how they just have so many games to turn around. And this doesn't feel rushed overall, but parts of it do. It feels like if you gave this another few years, you probably would have a nice rounded, maybe cel-shaded art style, more like Breath of the Wild. Maybe that's something that they could have brought in to be more Breath of the Wild. Because it is noticeable. It's more that mainly for me, it's the rock textures and the tree textures. They just feel old school. They just feel PS2, GameCube, mid-2000s to late-2000s era. And that's what they're going for. You know, various Eastern RPGs have that aesthetic in terms of the animation. And it's, I know I wasn't expecting a full, you know, Western-style motion capture approach to cutscenes. But depending on how many Eastern RPGs you've played, from your Personas to the Yakuza's, Judgment, whatever, this stuff might stand out. Obviously, I've just jumped between aesthetics and animation there. But I think that it's worth flagging that both are... serviceable. Both are, you know, okay. They get across, you are in a world full of trees and different forestation, and then this is a character talking to you. There's nothing other than the basics in that regard. That said, though, there is, I'm not going to say a recognizable art direction, but there are times where, you know, the sun's high in the sky, you're running down a different one of the hills, it's nice and bright, the detail in the sky is gorgeous, the detail around the world is enough that it gives you that feeling that you are in a world of Pokemon. So they do tick that box. And the performance is solid enough. It does chug. Mm-hmm. It chugs when you rotate the camera in a busy area. It chugs when you're fighting one of the bigger creatures and there's a lot going off. But for the most part, it's like 80% success rate on the sheer frame rate side. It's smooth enough.
Okay.
But yeah, it stands out. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think it's way better in handheld. Didn't notice at all when I played it on the train this morning. But it's one of those things where, yes, I wish they'd had more time in the oven, but that's a Nintendo problem to some degree.
Well, this is the question I was going to follow up with. You know, you mentioned there that, you know, Game Freak potentially stretched too thin and potentially, you know, working on too much projects. Maybe they should have had more time in the oven. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is an issue with the development itself, or is it an issue with the actual hardware it's releasing on? Because yes, we had the Nintendo Switch OLED release last year, but is it just kind of a limitation of what the Switch is working with at the moment? Like, do we need a new console to come in with better specs to do games like this justice, or do you think there is still more you could have gotten out of this game on the base hardware?
Well, that's the thing. They'd have to develop something else. Pokemon Arceus 2 or whatever they do for the next Pokemon Legends game, it would have to be developed for the new system, because this feels like it's the best they could have done, and the seams that show are entirely frame rate based. Like, obviously there's time limits. Like I said, I would prefer better renders on the environment, or I'd prefer a Breath of the Wild overall visual punch or whatever. But it feels like Game Freak did what they could do in the time allotted to them. It feels very specific. Like, it's sort of like, we're going to attempt this thing, we're going to call it Pokemon Legends Arceus. We're not going to necessarily call it a Pokemon mainline game, because they're not two versions. It's not Sword Shield, you know, Pearl Diamond, whatever. It's just one-off thing that we can try, see if it works, and then go from there. So it feels like, you know, they gave them a certain amount of space to try all these different things. And a lot of the features here, like I said, the speed of everything, just the way that battling and catching and everything has been sped up, is directly addressing fan complaints that have been there for decades. But yeah, I think they'd have to develop something with a 4K Switch in mind. I did think that, though, when the frame rate chugs, it's like, well, if we had the 4K Switch, or we had the insert thing Switch, that would just be nice and smooth. It'd be 60 FPS standard, whatever. But yeah, I think they did the best that they possibly could in the time allowed. But I know that, like, some fans have a whole bunch of problems with Game Freak as a dev in general, because there are various issues with past Pokemon games, the reuse of animations, etc. Again, I don't know the reality of those conversations from developer to publisher, and if this just is the best they can do. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, because I always give developers and artists and creatives the benefit of the doubt. But it is one of those things where, even in this game, it's reusing some attack animations and things like that from previous Pokemon games again. So it's only going to be the frame rate. That's the main thing that stood out to me,
That's the only thing. I mean, it's interesting that you said that you didn't have many problems with it on handheld. I presume you were using the OLED Switch when you're playing it on handheld.
Oh, yes.
That's interesting. Overall, you've kind of like, you have made me excited about it. Like, I love the idea that there's more Monster Hunter in it than Breath of the Wild. That sounds exciting. I like what they've changed up with the core combat, the core exploration, the core catching. Like, the idea for me, the dream for me, is just being able to live in, like, a Pokemon world and have what I imagined when I played the very, very old school Pokemons of, you know, finding Pokemon in the tall grass, having them pop up, having that happen in real time, having that happen in a more detailed space. Like, that's what I'm personally, you know, excited to jump in experience.
Yeah, that's entirely what they've built. Like, that you can point to the hardware limitations of just saying it's not overflowing with Pokemon, at least in the first couple of hours. It's not overflowing with tons of stuff, and there is a weird level of detail thing where if anything is past a certain amount of distance from you, it halves the frame rate, like on that specific animation.
Oh,
so you'll just
you'll
just see a bird doing that as it flies, and then if it gets close enough, it'll just be normal again. So they've little things like that. Well, I guess it's not necessarily little, depending on how much, you know, something dominates a visual. But yeah, that's what they've gone for. That's what they're trying to sell you. That's the thing that a lot of us have been looking forward to for decades, and the thing that we imagine when we watch the TV show. What would it be like to live in this world of Pokemon? That's the vibe the Pokemon Snap absolutely nails, and it's just a free roaming open version of that, with some Monster Hunter stuff in there and the idea of, you know, ticking up a whole bunch of things to fill out the Pokedex as well. So I'm very impressed. I'm going to play a lot more of it. There's other games dropping left, right and centre. Can't stop them now that we're getting closer to February, so we'll juggle as much as we can, and we'll do little updates on the podcast, so go get subscribed to that as well. For now though, this has not been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been Scott Tilford. What Culture Gaming is all I've got for you. So
I've been Josh.
Yeah.
What Culture Gaming? We do this every gaming. Day. Every year single... in, year out. We still don't have it down, though.
No. 8 years at this job, and I will catch you soon. Pokemon.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.